Good evening. I want to disturb those while learning here. This week, we have a double parsha, double header. Matos Maseh, which whenever we have a double parsha, it is read as one parsha. We know Minhag Ashkenaz is that the one who gets the fourth aliyah gets to lain the end of the first parsha and the beginning of the second, which means the two parshas are connected. Unlike Minhag Sfarad, that read the two parshas separately, most of us who are B'nai Ashkenaz read the fourth aliyah, the end of the first and the beginning of the second, which shows how the two parshas are combined. So although these are two separate parshas, and in the order of the parshas, naturally one is parsha number 43, one is 44, they're not the same parsha, but when we read them together, they become one parsha. And Minhag Yisrael Teiruhu, and this has been the tradition for so many years, that parshas Matos Maseh is always read during the 3 weeks. Always. These two parshiyos are always read during what we call the Yemei Bein HaMetzorim. Pinchas, which this year was also read Bein HaMetzorim, sometimes is not. But Matos Maseh is always read Bein HaMetzorim, which tells us, as the Shaloh HaKadosh writes, concerning these parshiyos, that they're all related to the time that we're in now, which is the time of Bein HaMetzorim. When we look through these parshiyos, we try to find what is the connection between the topics in these parashiyos and the time that we're in now, which is the Yemei Bein HaMetzorim, the period in which we mourn the destruction of Yerushalayim and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is also this Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Menachem Av. Minhag Yisrael is to call it Menachem Av, which can also mean the comforting father. Which, even though in this month we suffered many, many tragedies, the name of the month suggests that this is the month in which we will be consoled. We will be comforted in the month of Menachem, in the month of Av, which is the Chodesh HaChamishi, which incidentally is also mentioned in this week's Parsha. Parshas Maseh talks about how Aaron HaKohen was Nifter on Chodesh HaChamishi Be'echad LaChodesh, which is interesting. This is not the first time that the Torah speaks about the death of Aaron. It speaks about the death of Aaron in Parshas Chukas, but there it doesn't say when he passed away. The Torah now, after repeating the death of Aaron in Parshas Maseh, this week's Parsha tells us the date, which seems to solidify those who say, and that's common in all the Sfarim, that every parasha is connected to the time that it is being read. The fact that this parasha is always read right before Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av is why the Torah, why Hashem chose to put the date of Aaron's death dafka in this parasha, not in Parshas Chukais, which is never read at the time that we begin Menachem Av. Whenever it's Shabbos Mevorchim, Mevorchim always connects 2 months. In this case, Tammuz and Menachem Av, the two most difficult months of the year. The 3 weeks, the Yemei Bein HaMetzorim, begin in Tammuz and continue into Menachem Av till Tisha B'Av, till actually the 10th of Av, Chatzos, till Chatzos. We have 3 weeks, but it's actually 3 weeks and a half a day. And the Sfarim discuss whether there are 21 days of Avelis, 22 days of Avelis, whether we count Tisha B'Av, we don't count Tisha B'Av. So this Shabbos, Parshas Matos Maseh, which is also Shabbos Chazak, is the parasha that connects Tammuz to Av, the Chodesh HaRevi'i to the Chodesh HaChamishi, the fourth month to the fifth month. And as mentioned previously, every month corresponds to another Shevet, as the Arizal taught that the months correspond to the Shvatim, the way they travel in the desert, meaning Nisan is Yehuda, Iyar is Yisachar, Sivan is Zevulun, Tammuz is Reuven, and Av, Menachem Av, is Shimon. So this Shabbos we are connecting Reuven and Shimon, we are connecting Tammuz and Av, and reading these two parshiyos, Matos and Maseh. What does the parsha have to do with this time? Now, Matos begins with the sugya of Nedarim, the whole Maseches Nedarim, and probably Maseches Shavuos as well, is rooted in the beginning of this parasha. We then go to the topic of Melchemes Midyan, which was the last war that Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to fight. Melchemes Midyan, revenge from the Midyanim for what they did to Klal Yisrael. And then after that, the story of Reuven, Gad, and Chotzi Shevet Menashe, who asked for a portion of land on the other side of the Jordan River, and their request was granted. And then we go into Maaseh, which is a summation of all the 42 stations, the 42 stops where the Jews traveled from when they left Mitzrayim until they came to the last stop, which is where we're holding now in these parashiyos. Klal Yisrael is now holding by the last stop, ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then the Torah talks about what to do when they enter Eretz Yisrael, to eradicate all the idol worshippers, and the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and Arei Miklat, and then the last part of the parasha, which speaks to us about the marriage of the Menois Tzlovcha to their first cousins, because the Jews were commanded in that generation not to marry out of the Shevet, to make sure that everyone's portion of land remains among the Shevet, and that's how these two parashas end. What does this all have to do with the time that we're in now, the end of Tammuz, the beginning of Menachem Av, the Yemei Bein HaMetzorim? The Yemei Bein HaMetzorim are days of din, midas hadin. They are days which is, we know the halacha says what the things that are done during the year should not be done during this time. A person shouldn't take a walk alone during certain hours. During these 3 weeks, it's brought down a Shulchan Aruch. It's not just some folk's tales. Brought down a Shulchan Aruch that during this time, a Rebbe has to be very careful not to scold, or in those days when they used to hit their students, not to hit students during this time. These are days of din, days of midas hadin. The Tzvilat Tzadik, that was the Bnei Yisoscha's grandson, he was named after him. The Tzvilat Tzadik writes in his Sefer that the 22 days of Avelis between Shavasa, Batamas, and Tisha B'Av correspond to the 22 days of Yom Tov. That there are actually 22 days of Yom Tov throughout the year. There are 2 days Rosh Hashanah, there's Yom Kippur, there's Sukkot, there's Shmini Atzeres, Pesach, Shavuos. All together, he says, there are 22 days. Other Sfarim say it corresponds to the 22 days from Rosh Hashanah till Shmini Atzeres. In fact, the parasha that we just read last week, Pinchas, which this year is part of the 3 weeks, and even when it's not, it's the parasha that takes us into the 3 weeks, Pinchas has in it discussed all the Yomim Tovim. All the Yomim Tovim, the Musafim, the additional Karbonis that were brought every single Yom Tov are discussed in Parshas Pinchas. In fact, every Yom Tov we always read from Parshas Pinchas, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Pesach, Shavuos, are all rooted in Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas is the parasha of the Yomim Tovim, which takes us into the 3 weeks right after we learn about the Yomim Tovim, or this year when it's actually during the 3 weeks, when we are commemorating the Churban, these very, very sad days. We are accompanied by the parasha that talks to us about all the Yomim Tovim, to show us that these days correspond to these. The truth is, as the Tzvilat Tzadik elaborates at the beginning of this week's parasha, the question that all the Mefarshim ask, that this parasha starts differently than any other parasha. Every parasha starts by Yadaber Hashem El Moshe Leim, or here it starts by Yadaber Moshe El Roshe Hamatos. Moshe is speaking to the heads of the tribes, although it's really a continuation from the parasha before, Vayom Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, Kechel HaShetziva Hashem Es Moshe, and then it goes into this, as Rashi says at the end of Pinchas, tells us that Tzvilat Tzadik V'derech Drush, V'derech Remez, Matos, he says, comes from the word mate, which means below, down. These are down days. The days of the Bein HaMetzorim, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, these are matos. They are not days of Aliyah, they are days of Yerida. And a Jew has to connect the matos to the roshay. Vayidaber Moshe el roshay hamatos. Connect the matos to the rosh, the bottom to the top. Connect the days of sadness to the days of joy, the days of Yerida to the days of Aliyah. The goal is to be mahapech. To be mahapech these days, when ahapechu, just like during Purim, in the month of Adar, that we were zochet to experience the venahapechu. It's interesting, we mentioned this in previous years, there's only one time in Chumash that the word Adar appears. And it doesn't mean the month of Adar, but it's certainly a hint to it. And that is in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, when the Torah talks to us about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk tells us that there's a place called Chatzar Ador. The Yotzah Chatzar Ador V'Ovar Atzmona, which is always read, Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Menachem Ov. As we're about to begin the saddest month of the year, the Torah hints to us, it drops a hint that what happened to Ador is going to happen to Ov. Don't worry. Just like Adar was also once a sad month, Adar was a month of Yogon, as it says, Achodesh Hashanepach lehem Yogon l'simchu me'eva l'yomtif. The same will happen to the month of Av. The month of Av, which right now is down in the dumps, right now, Menachem Av, the beginning of Menachem Av at least, Tul Chamisha Asaba Av, with the days following Shavasa B'Tamuz, are matos, but eventually they will be become Roshim, they will become Roshei HaMatos, they will be connected, and they will become even greater than the Yomim Tovim. And the job of a Jew is to be mahapach these days from sadness to joy. That's our avoda during this time. Not just to prepare for which one has to do, the halachas of the 3 weeks, the halachas of the 9 days. The goal, though, is to be mahapach these days, to look for the reasons why we have to commemorate the Churban. Why have we not yet merited the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? And when we rectify that which brought about the Churban, we will be zochet to see these days turned around, miyogon l'simcha. The Tzvila Tzadik continues and he says, the parasha speaks about hataras nedarim. The parasha speaks to us about hafaras nedarim, hataras nedarim, being able to revoke a vow, being able to nullify a vow, which is what we do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we make hataras nedarim, Erev Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say kol nidrei, meaning on the epitome, the apex, the greatest of the Yemei Aliyah, which is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a Jew is involved in being Matir Neder. And what are we reading now as we enter the month of Menachem Av, smack in the middle of the 3 weeks in the Yemei Bein HaMitzarim? We're reading about being Matir Neder. That's connecting these sad days to the Yemei Aliyah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's what the Tzvila Tzadik tells us. And perhaps we can expound on that a little bit, that the theme of at least the first parasha of these two, of Matos, is the concept of Hafaras Nedarim. As Rashi tells us right at the beginning of the parasha, why does Moshe speak to the Roshei HaMatos? And Rashi says that every mitzvah was really taught that way. The entire Torah was taught that way. Moshe would speak first to the heads of the tribes, and then later he would speak to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So this is not unique. It was done like that all the time. So Rashi asks, why over here, though? Why does the Torah tell this to us over here? To teach us, Shehafaras Nedarim B'yochid Mumcha. It comes to teach us that the nullification of vows can be performed by an individual who is an expert, a yochid mumcha. Those are the Roshei HaMatos. They have the ability to nullify vows and oaths. In other words, even though these psukim are talking about a neder and a shvua, that a person has the ability to prohibit an item upon himself by making a vow, a person could swear, I will not do this, I will not, or I will do that, I won't eat this, I won't eat that. A person has the ability to prohibit upon himself even more than what the Torah prohibits, which is what a neder is. Nedarim siyag l'precious, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, we read during these weeks. Nevertheless, the novelty, the chiddush of this parasha is that not only one can take upon himself, a person can make a vow, swear, take upon himself an oath, but a person has the ability to remove the vow, to nullify the vow, to revoke the vow, not by himself, lo yachel, he cannot, but others can for him. Lo yachel devoro, k'chol ayotze mipiv yasi. He's not allowed to profane his words, whatever comes out of his mouth he must do. However, acherim mochalin lo, others, meaning a yochid mumcha or a bezdin, or as we read later, the young girl, her father can nullify her nedarim, the married woman, her husband, the arusa, the father together with the husband. Over and over, the Torah speaks to us about hafara, the imhofer yofer, the imheni aviha oisa, the hefer is nidra, hafaras nedarim. Golus is associated with a neder, with a shvuah. We see this at the end of the parasha where it says, when the Torah repeats the story of the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu, who misunderstands Reuven and God's request to take their portion of land on the other side of the Jordan River. He's afraid that they're backing out and they don't want to cross the Jordan and fight together with Klal Yisrael, and he's worried a repeat of another Chet HaMeraglim. So there the Torah tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayichar af Hashem bayoyim hahu vayishova. Hashem got angry that day and he swore. Vayishova leimur. Hashem got angry and he swore that he will not take that generation into Eretz Yisrael. Im yiru ha'anoshim ha'olim im Mitzrayim im ben esrim shana v'mala eis ha'adom asher nishbati li'avram li'yitzchak u'li'yakov. The anger of Hashem becomes an oath. An oath is binding. A nether, a vow, prohibits, constrains a person. A person takes usually a vow upon himself not to do something. I will not eat this, I will not do that. It's a constraint. That's what the Yemei Bein HaMetzarim are. Metzar means constraints. We say, Min HaMetzar Korosi Ko, Anoni Bar Merchav Ko. Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is called Mitzrayim from the word Metzar, because there we were kept behind, we were sort of kept behind bars, we were in constraints, we weren't allowed to go as freely as we were able to as free people. We were slaves. When one is enslaved, we say he's in a Metzar, he's in a Tsar. And that's what these days are. In time, the Yemei Bein HaMitzarim are like, it's the Mitzrayim of time. A nether constrains a person, a shvua. Golus came about because of a shvua. Vayicharaf Hashem b'ayoyim ha'u v'ayishova. We know the famous Gemara in Ksubas, that in Golus we are not allowed to rebel against the nations. One of the shvuas, one of the oaths that Klal Yisrael took upon themselves, the Shelo Yimredu Ba'umos, we cannot rebel against the nations, we have to wait for the Geula and not leave before the designated time. We are bound by an oath, and that oath keeps us in Golus. Meaning, Geula is when the oath is no longer applicable. When there's Hafaras Nedarim, and again, as the Tzvila Tzadik writes in a different essay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has his own vows nullified by tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Chet HaEgel, also vowed that he's going to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Vayichal Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayichal, from Lashon, like it says here, Lo Yachil Devaroi, Vayichal Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu nullified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nether. As the Medrash says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps to the Torah just like he commands us to. And just like he told us that if we take upon ourselves a vow, it's possible for the vow to be annulled, to want to go to a chacham. Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be gozer a gezeira, or swear, and a tzaddik is mevatel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer a gezeira, v'tzaddik mevatel. As the Pasuk says, the Gemara says in Mayit Kot, mi moishel bi yiras aleikim, a tzaddik with yiras aleikim can kaviyachal actually overpower even Hashem's will. The ability to annul HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shvuah. Vayichal Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu nullifies the Shvuah of Hashem, and Klal Yisrael are not wiped out. So the Tzvila Tzadik elaborates on that in this week's parasha. And perhaps this is the reason why, as we enter the Yemei Bein HaMetzorim, these days of constraints, the days in which we commemorate the Churban, the days that remind us that we're in Golus and we're bound by the oaths that do not allow us to go out of Golus until the designated time, and prohibit us from doing various things, certain mitzvahs that we cannot do because we're in Golus. Mitzvahs that can only be performed in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Karbanos, whether it's Binyan Beis HaMikdash, mitzvahs HaTluyos Ba'aretz, certain conquests that cannot be made until the coming of Mashiach, are all because of the Shavua of Golus. So what do we read about as we enter this time? That there's the concept of HaFaras Nedarim. The nether will be annulled. The nether can be removed. The geula will come, as it says by Shimshon, it says, "V'hu yochel lehoshia es Yisrael." The Navi uses the word yochel, also from the word lo yachel, because Shimshon rebelled against the nations. Shimshon fought the Pelishtim. Shimshon antagonized the Pelishtim, which seemed to go against the shvua of Golus. So as Chazal tell us, Shimshon was the nitzus, was the neshama of Mashiach, and therefore he was able, v'hu yochel lehoshia es Yisrael, he was able some temporarily in his time, that's why Yaakov has thought that he was the eventual redeemer. When Yaakov sees, he don nochash alei derech, he thinks that Shimshon is Mashiach. Shimshon had this ability to be able to annul the vow. We read about Hafaras Nedarim. Hafaras is Begematria Nachamu Nachamu Ami Yoimar Lekeichem. The Nachama will come when there will be Hafaras Nedarim. When the Neder, the Shvua of Golas, Hafaras is also Begematria Mikdash Hashem Koinun Yodecha. The Beis Hamikdash will be built, the Nedarim, the Shvuas that bound us into Golas will be annulled. We will be free. Mashiach is called Ben Ish Parzi. Parzi Miloshin Peretz. He's poirets geder. He will break through the barriers. The geder of Golas. The geder of Neder and Shavua. What Shimshon began, Mashiach will complete. And all the Nedarim and Shavua is all that keeps us tied up in Golas. All the constraints will be removed. The Yemei Ben HaMetzorim will no longer be called the Metzorim, Min HaMetzar, but they will be Min HaMerchav. There will be days of Rechava. And this topic continues into the next, this theme continues into the next topic of the parasha, which is Melchemes Midyan. Melchemes Midyan, Midyan is from the word Din. Midin. Fighting the Midas HaDin. The Midas HaDin of this is what keeps us, Golas is Midas HaDin. During the times of Golas, especially during these 3 weeks when there's a tremendous Midas HaDin, we read in the parasha about the war against Midian, the war against Din. We find that Pinchas was sent on the mission. Pinchas was the Kohen Mashuach. Pinchas was the Kohen that was anointed to go to battle. As Rashi says, one of the reasons was to take revenge from Midian for what they did to Pinchas' great-grandfather. Pinchas was a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik. And the Midonim sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. The Hamidonim Machru Oisai El Mitzrayim, as Rashi brings here, and therefore Pinchas was sent to battle to take revenge from the Midyanim for what they did to his great grandfather Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef is Miloshin Hoysofa. Yosef is the opposite of Meitzar. Yosef means to do more and more and more and more, not to be constrained. But the Midonim, Miloshin Midin, Miloshin Midyan, Din, sold Yosef to Mitzrayim, to Meitzar. Mitzrayim, Miloshin Meitzar, Mitzrayim, Bein HaMetzorim. The Midonim were the ones responsible for bringing about the Golas, for sending Yosef to Mitzrayim, which was the beginning of the Golas, and the beginning of all Golias, as the Medrash says, all Golias are rooted in Mitzrayim. And all Geulois are rooted in Yitzias Mitzrayim. And this war attacking Midian, which was the last command that Hashem gives to Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'ez HaMidyanim Achar Te'osef El Amecha. This war was to remove the din, to remove the constraints. Midian, Miloshen Din, which almost accomplished its job. The problem is that as we read throughout the Psukim, they didn't wipe out the women like they were supposed to. Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. It sounds similar to the story of Shaul with Agag. Shaul had an opportunity to wipe out Amalek, but he left Agag. He didn't kill the animals. And till today, we suffer from Amalek. It seems in this story, too, there was an opportunity to rid the world of Midian, to rid the world of Din, but it didn't happen. Moshe is upset with Klal Yisrael for not wiping out Midian the way it should have been. And in this parasha of Melchemes Midian, we learn about the halachas of kashering kelim, the halachas of being immersing kelim in the mikveh, ach b'mei nida yischata. Kashering kelim is transforming, it's taking kelim that were under the domain of Din, under the domain of Mitzrayim, under the domain of Midian. Immersing them in a mikveh, what the mikveh has a power to change a goy to a Jew. It's Yedua the Maisa with Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld used to go to the mikveh every morning. I don't know if he was a chassidish or not, but he went to the mikveh every morning. Rabbi Issa Zalman used to ask him, why do you waste time? Why do you have to go? You don't have to go to the mikveh. You know your Torah anyway. Your Torah is mitahir. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld answered him, if mikveh has the power to transform, to turn a goy into a Jew, then it certainly has the power to make a Jew a better Jew. And that's why he was marba in tefilas mikveh. And in this parasha we read about the concept of mikveh and tahara, taking items that belong to goyim items that are under the domain of the Goyim, which we learn about here in Melchamas Midyan, Hazahav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Bedil, Eifores, and purging them first from that which was treif, and then immersing them in the mikveh, which we learn out from these psukim, that if you buy a keli used for food, that it has to be immersed in the mikveh. And that's exactly what we have to do to these days. These days, the days of Yemei Bein HaMitzorim, which are under the domain of Midyan and Mitzrayim, have to be transformed, have to be purified. They sort of have to be immersed in the mikveh. There are 21 days, according to many Mefarshim, there are 21 days of Avelus. Tisha B'Av is not counted because Tisha B'Av is called a Mayed. So there are 21 days and 21 nights. That gives us 42. 21 days, 21 nights is 42. And it's Yadua that that's the Kavana that we have when we go to the mikveh. Eheyeh asher eheyeh, eheyeh. The word eheyeh is equal to 21. Eheyeh again is another 21, is begamatria 42. Why? Because as brought down to the Kavanas of mikveh, the word eheyeh, b'miluah, is begamatria mikveh. And eheyeh means I will be a new person. A person immerses in the mikveh, he comes out, he's a different person, he's like reborn, he experiences tchiyas hamesim, ki yadua, the kavanas hamikveh. Person crouches under the water, he's like in a fetal position, and then he comes out like a child after being born, goes under the water where you can't live, then you come out, it's like you start life all over again. That's the power of mikveh, mehadas. And that we read here in this parasha because that's what has to be done to these days. These days, the 21 days, 21 nights, 42 together, eheyeh asher eheyeh, person has the ability to transform himself and to transform these days, to kasher these days. These days that fell into the domain of Midyan, Mitzrayim, have to be kashered and immersed and transformed into days of Kedusha, into days of Aliyah, into days of Yom Tov. Like from a goy becoming a yid. Similar to Hafaras Nedarim. Hafaras Nedarim, the nether that bound us, that prohibited us, that did not allow us, is annulled. And now we are permitted. Now there's a heter. The same thing with these kalim that were prohibited, these kalim, these vessels that were prohibited for use, are now permitted. We can use them now. These days that are days in which we are prohibited to get married, to listen to live music or tapes, or as we enter the 9 days, it gets even intensifies, taking showers, going to swimming and so on, and laundry. All these days are days that we are prohibited. We are constrained. There's so much we cannot do. The goal, though, is hafaras nedarim. The goal is to kasher, to permit, to immerse, to turn these days into days that not only are we allowed to do all of that, but that we will be commanded to do all of that. These are days of simcha, days of chasana, days of Yom Tov. And then we come to the last topic in the first parasha, which is the story of Reuven and Gad, who asked that their portion of land be given to them on the other side of the river, which first it sounded like as if they despised Eretz Yisrael, the Eva Hayardein Hama'aravi. But as Rashi tells us here, there were 9 cities, as the Pasuk says here, that they requested. Atorois, V'divain, V'yazer, V'nimra, V'cheshboin, V'el'ole, Yusuvam, U'nevoi, U'va'oin. These are 9 cities. Rashi tells us, May Eretz Sichon V'oig Hoyu. These 9 cities were originally the land of Sichon and Og. They were conquered, and now Reuven and Gad asked that these portions of land be given to them. Mikne Rav Hoyu L'bnei Reuven. Chazal tell us, Amoin Umayav Tiharu B'Sichon. Really, Sichon and Og were not the original, they were not the ones who really were the inhabitants of these lands. The original inhabitants of these lands were Ammon and Moab, which we were prohibited to conquer. We are not allowed to conquer from Ammon and Moab in Golas. Al Totsar Es Moab, the Pasuk says. Al Tiskar Bom Milchama. Until the Geula comes, we cannot conquer from Moab and Ammon any land. But here was the exception. The exception over here was because these lands, part of Ammon and Moab, obviously it's not the complete Ammon and Moab, that's in the future. But these 9 cities that were originally land that belonged to Ammon and Moab were conquered by Sichon and Og, and then later we took it from Sichon and Og. That was permitted for us. It was permitted for us to take it from Sichon and Og Amon Umov Tiharu Besichon, which is the same idea as Hataras Nedarim, Hafaras Nedarim, of kashering kalim that previously are osir and now are mutter. The land that we were not allowed to take, now we're allowed to take. And Bisman HaGolus, it's not yet the time of Geula. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who inherits, the one who divides these nine cities to Reuven and Gad, and eventually to Chatzi Shevet Menashe as well. It's a taste of the future, where in the future Ammon and Moab, in its entirety, will be given over to Klal Yisrael, including Edom as well. Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni. These nine cities hint to the 9 days, with Ataros being the first. Ataros is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day in which we lost our crown. We say in the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Soita, Bepulmus shel Aspasionis, or Bepulmus shel Titus, Gozru al Atrois Kalois, Atrois Chasanim. Chasanim and Kalois used to wear Ataros, they used to wear crowns when they would go to the Chasana. But after the Churban, Chazal decreed, Zechel the Churban, no more crowns, based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. Hoser ha-mitznefes v'hoser ha-atoro. When there's no mitznefes, means when the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash is not wearing, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the mitznefes, the Navi says, the Jew should not wear an atoro. Even though we were all supposed to wear an atoro, due to Nasa v'nishma, every Jew was given a crown to wear, which was removed after Chet Ha'egel. But after the Churban, until the Geula, these atoros are prohibited. We're not allowed to wear atoros. As we say in Eicha, the Nevuah, the lamentation of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, hopefully we won't have to say it this year, or we'll say it with a different tone. Nafla Ateres Roshenu, says the Navi in Eicha, says Yirmiyahu. Our crown has fallen. The Beis HaMikdash is the crown, the Atara. The first of the nine cities mentioned here in this parasha is Atarais, which Unkelus translates as Machlelta. Interesting that Unkelus should translate the name of a city with a different word. And this is the reason why the Gemara says in Brachas, Daf Tes, when it talks about being Mavis Sedra. So the Gemara says, La'olam yashlim adam parashiyosav imatzibur, shnaya mikra ve'echa targum, afilu atarois v'divine. That's this pasuk over here. Another Mepharshim asks, why does the Gemara quote this pasuk? There are a lot of psukim that have names. He means that you have to say even psukim that have names, and the Unkelus says the same thing, you have to do it a third time. Really, you shouldn't have to. And some say because Unkelus here translates these names differently. He doesn't translate Ataros as Ataros. He translates Ataros as Machlelta. And therefore, the Gemara mentions this pasuk. But perhaps there's a deeper understanding. This Gemara is talking about the concept of being Mevatel Golos. The Chassam Sofer says, what's the idea of Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum? So the Chassam Sofer writes, Targum is Golos language. Mikra is Lashon HaKodesh. By saying each pasuk twice and Unkelus once, when Mevatel the Targum, Beroy, Bittel Beroy, two against one, Achrei Rabim Lahatois, says the Chassam Sofer, that's why we're Mavis Sedra. So I mean, Mavis Sedra has the power to be Mevatel v'golus.
And the... Said
huh? Depends who we're talking to. Not for this... maybe for this crowd. But if I was speaking in Williamsburg, I wouldn't have to say that. So Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum is the concept of being Mevatel, of nullifying, getting rid of the Golas, getting rid of the Targum. Lashon Kodesh should supersede, should overpower the Targum. So why does the Gemara quote this Pasuk? Because this Pasuk is about the Golas. These nine cities correspond to the 9 days. Ataros is Tisha B'Av. Ataros is written here with a Vav. Usually it's written without a Vav. Ataros is written with a Vav, and it's the same gematria as the word Haforas. Haforas Nadorim. Atoros with a Vav is begematria Nachamu Nachamu Ami Yomar Alikeichem. When the Atorah will be complete, the crown will once again be placed on the head of every single Jew. These nine cities are transformed from first Ammon and Moab, then Sichon and Og, and now they're in the hands of the Jews. The 9 days will undergo a transformation. The 9 days that are now in the domain of Esav, of Edom, the 9 days that are now in the Yemei Ben HaMitzorim, Mitzrayim, Midyan, days that we cannot, that we are prohibited as of now, La'es Ata, to take showers, to be Misameach, and the Shavua Shechal by Tisha B'Av even more, everyone, even Minak Svard, will be transformed into 9 days of Simcha. So Ataris is Tisha B'Av. What's interesting, Unkelus translates Ataris as Machlelta. The two kings from whom these cities were conquered are Sichon and Og. Sichon corresponds to Tammuz, and Og Melech Boshan is Menachem Av. We once spoke about this, Ba'arichus. These two kings that were conquered by Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael right before their entrance into Eretz Yisrael is a metaphor that as we get ready for the Geula, the Geula will bring about the transformation of Tammuz and Av. We will conquer Tammuz and Av. That's why we find Moshe Rabbeinu kills Sichon, conquers the army of Sichon with no problem. He's not afraid of Sichon. But Og Melech Boshan he's afraid of. Altira oisai, ki biyadachon asati oisai, the pasuk says. Don't be afraid of him, and we know what Chazal say because of the schus that Og Melech Boshan had. But perhaps there's also the idea, Sichon is Tammuz. Sichon Melech HaEmori was also known as the king of Cheshbon. Cheshbon is the city that was given to Reuven. Reuven is Tammuz, says the Arizal, as we mentioned before. Reuven lacked in Cheshbon. His aveir was that he didn't make a Cheshbon. He acted impulsively. The city, therefore, that's given to him is Cheshbon. His tikkun is that he has to work on Cheshbon. I'm making Cheshbon. Alken yoimru ha-moishlem boyu Cheshbon, as the Gemara says, based on that pasuk in Chukas, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, ha-moishlem be-yitzram, we have to make a Cheshbon. The Cheshbon mentioned in this week's Pirkei Avos, having a chashev, hefseid mitzvah, keneged schoros, char avera keneged hefseidah. That was given to Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu is misakein Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yechi Reuven va'al yomois. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out on a limb for Reuven. And Reuven therefore requests that he received the portion of land in which Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. In these psukim, it's mashma, that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in the portion of land of Reuven, because Targum translates Nevoi over here as base kavurta de Moshe. Nevo, of course, is where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. And later in the parsha, we read, who receives Nun Beis Vav, who receives Nevoi? Reuven, ubenei Reuven banu es cheshbon ve'es el olei ve'es kiryosoyim ve'es Nevoi. Reuven wants to be in the portion of land of Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yechi Reuven va'al yomais. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not Misakin Shimon. Shimon, he can't be Misakin. We know that Shimon, he doesn't give a bracha to Shimon. Shimon is Menachem Av. Shimon is the month of Av, and that's awaiting Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be Misakin Shimon. Atorois is Tisha B'Av. Atorois Machlelta that the Targum says is Atorais Machlelta is Begamatria Oig Melech Boshan. That's Oig Melech HaBoshan that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Oig Melech Boshan, which the Arizal says that Boshan stands for Shimon ben Netzanel. That Rabbi Shimon ben Netzanel is also mentioned in this week's Pirkei Avos, the Yirei Chait, has had a nitzitz of, Oig had in him a nitzitz of Shimon ben Netzanel, as the Arizal and the Alkut Ruveni and the Megal HaMukas Amayrich. But perhaps it's also a remez to Shimon, the Shevet of Shimon. Shimon ben Nisanel. Eventually, Shimon, Nisanel, Nosan Kael, Hashem will give a tikkun to Shimon. Shimon will have a tikkun. Menachem Av will be rectified. Menachem Av will have an aliyah. Menachem Av, which is the month of Shimon, the month which the Sefer Yetzirah tells us was created with the letter Tes, the month of which we have the saddest 9 days, the Tes Yomim, the 9 days corresponding to these 9 cities here, Atoris V'divayin, will have an aliyah. When we'll misakein the chait of Shimon, which was the chait of Sinas Chinam, Shimon was the one who wanted that Yosef be sold to the Midyanim. And so this war, this Milchemes Midyan, mentioned in this week's parasha, which Pinchas spearheads the war and fights and kills Bilam and the 5 kings, Tzur, Chur, Reva, Tzur is Balak. Milchemes Midyan is the tikkun for the chait of Mechiras Yosef, which is the reason why we're in Golis up till today. The Sinas Chinam, which started then, which Shimon was the most responsible for, Menachem Av, the month of Shimon, is the month, therefore, where the Churban takes place. The Churban takes place in the month of Av, the lack of Kibbut of Shimon. Shimon causes aggravation to his father for 22 years, and we have 22 days of Avelis for each year of aggravation that Shimon causes his father as a result of chait Mechiras Yosef. Lack of Kibbut Av. And who takes over? Edom, Esav, destroys the Beis HaMikdash because of his Kibbut Av. Dafka in the month of Menachem Av. But we call it Menachem. And as the Bnei Yisrael says, the goal is to connect Av to Nisan, Tisha B'Av to Pesach. We know that Pesach and Tisha B'Av, the first day of Pesach and Tisha B'Av always fall out the same day, which is the reason why we eat the hard-boiled eggs after the Seder, remes to Tisha B'Av. But Tisha B'Av is root. Tisha B'Av is Behester, the day of Leidas Moshiach, as the Yerushalmi says, the cow of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that yelled when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and then it yelled again. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his Talmidim, Noilad Moshion Shel Yisrael. Tisha B'Av is Behester, the Leida of Moshiach. Tisha B'Av in time is like the Yam HaMelach in place. Yam HaMelach, mentioned in this parasha, is the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael begins from the Yam HaMelach, as we read in the Gevulei HaOretz. The 9 days, the 3 weeks, are the Yam HaMelach of time, the Dead Sea. The Yam HaMelach, which originally was Sodom, that's where Mashiach is rooted. We know that the Gemara says on the Pasuk, Hanim Tzo'ois, when the Malach said to Lot, take your two daughters, Hanim Tzo'ois, Hanim Tzo'ois goes on, Motzosi David Avdi. Where is David found? The Gemara says the Gemara in Yevamos, Bisdoim, Bisdoim Rosh Hateva, Soid Malchus Beis David. In the lowest of all places, below sea level, Yam HaMelach, which is literally, geographically, physically, the lowest of all places on earth, Sodom, Yam HaMelach, which ends up being the border of Eretz Yisrael, that's where it starts, that's where it ends. It starts Bisdoim, Sodom is Yam HaMelach, that's the lowest of all places. The 9 days, the 3 weeks, are the lowest of all times of the year. That's where Mashiach is. Mashiach is rooted in Tisha B'Av, in Sodom, in Yam HaMelach, and from there he will sprout. As the Mefarshim bring the Rambam, that the diamond is, that many times they would hide the diamond at the bottom of the garbage heap, because no one's going to look there. That's where the diamond is, but at the bottom of the garbage heap, the garbage pile, which is Sodom, which is Yam HaMelach, that's where the nitzitz of the Geula will sprout. And the goal is that we connect Chodesh HaChamishi, which is Chodesh HaMashichi, to Chodesh HaRishon, of to Nisan. Says the Bnei Yisoschus, even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give a bracha to Shimon, he hinted a bracha for Shimon in the bracha of Yehuda. Shema Hashem Koil Yehuda. Shema Hashem is Shimon. What's Shimon doing in the bracha of Yehuda? And Rashi quotes this in the Zayis HaBracha, that Shimon took his portion of land right around where Yehuda. Together they shared a portion of land, and they went together to battle the first conquest in Eretz Yisrael, as we read at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. And so too, at the end of time, Shimon will join with Yehuda, Menachem Av will join with Nisan. And together, from there, the Geula will sprout. And as it's hinted in Parshas Maaseh, where the Torah only mentions here 2 months, the Chodesh Vayisu Meiram says BaChodesh HaRishon BaChamisha Asayim LaChodesh HaRishon MiMochras HaPesach Yotzu Bnei Yisrael BiYod Rama LaEinei Kol Mitzrayim Yitzias Mitzrayim. We learn about here as we enter the Yemei Bein HaMitzorim in the days of constraints. We're learning about Yitzias Mitzrayim UMitzrayim Mekaberim. The Egyptians are burying their dead, as Rashi says here. Trudim BeEvlon. They were preoccupied with their mourning. They should be mourning, not we. Unfortunately, we're mourning during this time. The Torah is saying, Mitzrayim Mekabrim, they should be burying their dead. They should be Trudim Be'evlam. We learn about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we learn how Aaron passes away. Ba'chodesh HaChamishi Be'echod LaChodesh. These 2 months mentioned in this parasha, remez, that we have to connect of to Nisan. Because when we rectify the reason why we're in Golus, which is this beginning with the Chet of Shimon, of Mechiras Yosef, Midyan is machloikas, din, kaas, midos ro'os, all that caused the golus to last. The golus is still going on as a result of sin aschinam. When we rectify that, we have ahavas chinam and achdus Yisrael and ahavas Yisrael, we will be zeicher that these 9 days will become the happiest time. Tisha B'Av will be a yom tov kara alai moyed, and we should Taka celebrate these 9 days, beginning with Rosh Chodesh Av, and even before that, and before Shabbos. This Shabbos already we should celebrate together in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, Sheyibon HaBimheirav Yomeinu, which would spare us from fasting this Tisha B'Av. And these days should be days of Simcha, Nepach, Lohem Miyoga, and Lesimcha, just like what happened in the time of Adar. We were Zeichet of Enahapoichu, Asher Yishlo to HaYehudim Heima, so too, Bayomim Mohem Bizman Hazeh, we should be Zeichet of Tamazin Av, should be nishapeich, we should experience hafaras nedarim and total transformation of these days, and be zeichet to all of the land of Ammon and Moab and Edom in Eretz Yisrael, Hashleima, we should be zeichet to immediately.